This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based healthcare. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hi.
Today on the show, I want to talk about something. In the clinic, we have situations where we see a bunch of people that come in with very similar issues. It's kind of funny how that works. If someone comes in with a thyroid issue, we may see 4, 5, 10 thyroid people in a row. If someone comes in with, you know, cholesterol issues, we may see several of those in a row. Well, recently, that's exactly what we've seen. We've seen a run of people dealing with cholesterol issues. Now, the vast majority of people that are dealing with a cholesterol issue are dealing with hypercholesterolemia or high cholesterol in their blood. And so their doctor may make, you know, recommendations. They may want to put them on a statin medication to lower their cholesterol. They may tell them that their cholesterol is high, but it's borderline, and they tell them to go home and eat better and exercise more. And, you know, we've talked about that on this show before. When doctors give, you know, general recommendations like that, they, like Dr. Phil says, they might as well tell them to go home and get taller, because they really didn't tell them anything. They have no idea. These people already thought they were eating a healthy diet. They continue doing what they're doing, and that's, next thing you know, they're finally being put on a statin medication because their cholesterol level gets high enough, and now it's an issue, and their doctor's like, well, we tried the diet and exercise route and that didn't work. But did we? The likelihood is no, because the people didn't know what to do, and so they didn't do anything. So, but today in particular, I want to talk more about low cholesterol. We just had a woman come into our office with the lowest cholesterol I've ever seen. I like to talk about these cases because there's a lot of history in this, and I'm not going to get into her complete history. It's complicated. It's not an easy history by any means, but this woman's total cholesterol was 92. Now, why is that important? It's important because typically we want cholesterol right around 200, and hers is half that. Now, she was on a statin medication, which we'll talk about that in a little while, which was, I believe, contributing to driving her cholesterol so low. But all of her, or of the vast majority of her symptoms that she was complaining about, being super tired. Her family literally is waking this woman up different times during the day to take her medications and things and to eat, and then she's going right back to bed. So she's extremely exhausted, and her mental clarity just isn't there like it used to be. Now, she's not completely inept or anything like that. She can carry on a conversation, but she knows that she can't think of words. She can't remember things, like things that that wasn't the case just a couple of short years ago. And so I really want to talk today about why low cholesterol is a big thing, and why I think it's a bigger deal than your conventional doctors are ever going to conclude. Most conventional doctors are perfectly fine with driving your cholesterol as low as possible, but there are many, many, many things in the body that cholesterol is important for. So let's get into that just a little bit. I wanted this woman to have, this particular lady, I wanted her to have like actual research into, you know, why cholesterol is low and or why low cholesterol is bad. And so I started investigating, and, you know, there's really very little out there about low cholesterol.
Well, and we've had numerous patients who have come back and said, I talked to my doctor, and he said he'd never heard of someone's cholesterol being too low.
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, but it's happened numerous times. I mean, it's just that isn't taught in medical school. They talk about cholesterol can be too high and what you do if cholesterol is too high, but clearly this isn't taught, because numerous times, many times, doctors have, you know, patients have come back and said, my doctor was like, your cholesterol, I don't even know if it can be too low.
And that is beyond scary. In digging through the research, you know, that's what I do. I like to have research articles that show what it is that we do and why we're very big on that.
Well, and we're big on that for a reason. And I know I'm kind of digressing here, but let's face it: if a conventional medical doctor tells you something or your family something, you're like, oh, okay, that's how it is. We don't generally get that kind of consideration just because functional medicine is different, right? If we don't have the science to back it up, then people don't believe it.
Well, and we've said it before. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The most difficult thing for me as a functional medicine practitioner to do is to get someone to unlearn wrong information that they are absolutely certain is correct. Like, that is so hard. We get beat into our heads over and over again that high cholesterol is bad. You can't have high cholesterol. High cholesterol will kill you. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, yeah, if your cholesterol is 1,000, yeah, maybe that's a problem. But if your cholesterol is 200, 210, 220, really? Like, no, it's not the big thing. Like, I remember when cholesterol got lowered from an upper limit of 300 to 240. And I would definitely remember when it went from 240 to 200. And everyone else is going to remember when they start to push it even lower and lower and lower. And this is problematic, because we have to have cholesterol for some very vital functions in our body. The lower we see cholesterol, the more problems we are going to have. I mean, you just don't live as long when your cholesterol is low. So,
And we're certainly not saying that you can't have high cholesterol. I mean, it's true. Not. I mean, you definitely can have high cholesterol. There is a reason why doctors are concerned if your cholesterol is too high. We're just saying the opposite end of the spectrum is equally as frightening.
Right. Right. And so, in digging through the research, I found an article from 2008, published in. I'm not really sure. It's a Biomed article. I don't know, because it's a Czech. It's from the Czech Republic. I don't really know. It was done by the Department of Gerontology and Metabolism at the Faculty Hospital and Faculty of Medicine in Hradec Soklaska, Czech Republic. I don't know how they do their cities and stuff like that, and I definitely cannot pronounce that. So I'm sure someone of Czech descent is going to write me an email and say, "Well, you butchered that on air," and I'm perfectly fine with that. But anyway,
it won't be the first time.
It will not be the first, and it will not be the last, because unfortunately, these articles are not done in the United States, where I can actually name the city. But this thing was published on August 5th of 2008. And the title of the article is Hypocholesterolemia in Clinically Serious Conditions Review. And so this is a review article looking at lots and lots of different articles out there. And hypocholesterolemia is low cholesterol in the blood. And they start out by talking about how cholesterol is an essential component of cell membranes. It's our precursor to our steroid hormones. It's important for us to make bile acids. And there are other components that are extremely important for live organisms. Now, cholesterol synthesis is this very complicated, very energy demanding process. And what happens when we have critically ill patients is that cholesterol plummets. But what researchers can't figure out is, did the cholesterol plummet and then people got seriously ill, or did the illness cause the cholesterol to drop? This is a chicken or egg question, and no one has the answer. This article actually concludes that we don't know if it's a drop in cholesterol that causes the problem, or if the illness caused the drop in cholesterol. So what we see, I see people that come into my office that have low levels of cholesterol. They were put on some sort of cholesterol lowering medication, whether it was a statin or a bile acid resin or something that they were put on, and they lowered their cholesterol, and then the people had problems. That's what I see in my office. I don't see people that come in complaining of all these issues and, you know, have low cholesterol and they're not on a cholesterol lowering medication. Every person in my office, from my personal experience, that has had low cholesterol, and I classify cholesterol as low, anything below 140, I start getting concerned, right? Anytime that happens, the people have been on some sort of cholesterol lowering agent. That's just what I've seen personally. Now, you know, they go on to talk about how this is seen in critically ill patients, and they basically go on to say it's not known whether it's a secondary manifestation of a disease or whether it actively contributes to deterioration of the disease. Had a little trouble talking there. That's the thing that I think is the most important. Like, people are taught in this country that when it comes to cholesterol, that you have to eat low fat, that all of this stuff is, you know, your diet dictates how your cholesterol is, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Your diet is not really responsible for cholesterol levels in the blood. It just isn't. Your diet makes up the cholesterol that you consume in your diet really only comprises about 20% of what your total cholesterol level is. That's just how it is. Your body makes approximately 80% of your cholesterol. And when people start to hear that, they're like, wait a minute, that can't be true. And I tell you, it doesn't matter. You can tell the same lie 1,000 times. It doesn't make it any more true. Cholesterol is affected by you affected by your diet. Like, it's what you make, not what you're getting from foods. Now, if you're eating a crappy diet, you will make cholesterol improperly. You'll make the wrong cholesterol particle sizes. You'll make too many little bitty cholesterol particles.
Is important, right?
It is extremely important. So a good diet is important, but it's not about eliminating saturated fat from your diet. That's not what it's about.
Okay, and that's what they push when they talk about your cholesterol is too high.
That's right. Now, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about more about this cholesterol levels and your diet, and I want to get into how these statin medications cause problems and what kind of problems they cause and how that has an impact for your overall health. You're listening to Wellness 101.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
And yeah, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, we are talking about cholesterol, and in particular, we are talking about the importance of cholesterol and why low cholesterol is bad. I made mention of this patient that I had in recently who had the lowest total cholesterol that I've ever seen, coming in at a whopping 92, which, you know, is, in my opinion, severely problematic for this woman. Now, she was on a statin medication, and so we're hopefully working with her primary, because her primary care doctor was the one that put her on that statin medication. And, you know, it's at this point, it's her primary care doctor's responsibility to fix the issue here, that the fact that her cholesterol is so low. And so we were talking before the break, I was talking about how cholesterol levels, your body makes the vast majority of your cholesterol. And so it's extremely important. And cholesterol has so many different things that it's important for in the body. We have to have it for the cell membrane health. We have cholesterol in our cell membranes. So all trillion plus cells in our body have cholesterol in them. Our brain is about 25% by weight cholesterol. Our body makes all of our sex hormones, our testosterone, our estrogens, etc., from cholesterol. And so having enough cholesterol is extremely important, because it's a raw material that's vital for our overall health. Now, what I think people don't realize is that cholesterol, when the doctors look at your cholesterol, they're looking at the cholesterol levels in your blood. And so the cholesterol that's in your blood, for the most part, is made by your liver. It's that's just where it's synthesized. It's synthesized in the liver and the distal end of the small intestine. It's actually made in a couple places. And that's extremely important because if someone has some sort of liver dysfunction, if they're not making cholesterol, my question is, what else is going wrong with this person? Because the liver has thousands of jobs, right? It detoxifies, it manufactures, it's reading things, it's transforming things, it's there's so many different pieces of the human puzzle that the liver is responsible for. And if it's not working right, we have an issue. Now, that takes me to also knowing that cholesterol is manufactured in the distal, the farthest end of our small intestine, tells me that anybody that has any kind of gastrointestinal issues could have a problem with cholesterol. That's just the nature of the beast. If someone's dealing with, say, Crohn's disease, they're going to have a problem with cholesterol. They're going to have a problem with cholesterol manufacturing. And for what little cholesterol they absorb from their food and from their diet, they're going to have a problem with that too. It's not just a digestive issue. This is a total body issue. And trying to get people to understand that, oh, this is bigger than just one little thing, that this affects the entire body from head to toe, is extremely important to do. And it's an important part to get a point to get across, because conventional medicine doesn't make that a point. They're like, oh, your cholesterol's high, you're going to have heart disease. And they just tie cholesterol to heart disease when that's not how the body works, right? So we've got this class of drugs called statin medications. And statin medications are, I think they're a terrible drug for the vast majority of people. I think that cholesterol can much more easily be managed by making sure that someone knows what food they should be eating and making sure someone knows that they should be exercising and what type of exercise they should be doing, rather than just throwing a medication at something. Because what I don't think the vast majority of people realize is that that statin medication causes much more issues and many more problems than just lowering cholesterol. That's just one of the side effects of the medication. These statin medications are HMG coenzyme A reductase inhibitors. That means that they stop this enzyme called HMG coenzyme A reductase. They stop that thing from happening, which stops the whole pathway of cholesterol synthesis in the body. But there are a lot of things that are made before you get to cholesterol manufacturing, right? There are many steps to this puzzle. HMG coenzyme A reductase is the third step in about a 15-step process, or a 12-step process, whatever it is. I had it memorized back in the day. Now I just remember the key points, because that's all that really matters. When you stop, like, I'll throw this as a little bit of trivia out there. Statins were first approved in September or October of 1987 by the FDA in the United States. The very first statin medication that was approved was Mevacor. It was called Mevacor because it stops the mevalonate pathway. Now, the mevalonate pathway is what happens. That's the mevalonic acid is what's made when HMG coenzyme A reductase works on HMG coenzyme A. You go from HMG coenzyme A to mevalonic acid. I'll get it out in a minute. That's why it was called Mevacor. This is the whole, like, that's where they all started, right? And so once you stop that, a few steps down, you end up with the body manufacturing three things that you, if you're taking a statin medication, you no longer make. You no longer make isoprenylated proteins. This is I could do a whole thing on isoprenylated proteins. Just know that those are proteins that are extremely important for the cell membrane's function. They're embedded in the cell membrane. They function within the cell membrane. They're extremely important for that. That's important. That's one of the things that's not made. Another thing is ubiquinone. Ubiquinone is the scientific name for CoQ10. Did you know when you're taking a statin medication, you no longer manufacture CoQ10? And very few people that are taking a statin medication are actually taking a CoQ10 supplement. And if you're taking a statin medication, you need hundreds of milligrams of CoQ10 per day while you're taking that that medication. And no one does. And this is why when people take statins, they get extremely tired. CoQ10 is extremely important for your body's ability to manufacture energy. That's how we start the, that's how part of how we get the Krebs cycle going. So we have to have this thing to make energy. And then the third thing that's not made, that is not a cholesterol, cholesterol being the fourth thing that's not made, but the third thing that's not made is dolichol. Now, dolichol is extremely important because dolichol is made in this is in high concentrations in this particular part of the brain called the substantia nigra. And I want to spend just a little bit of time here because dolichol, research has shown that in people that have high levels of dolichol in their body, they have a condition known as schizophrenia, right? And when people have low levels of dolichol in their body, they have neurodegenerative diseases, things like Parkinson's disease. And what I see as a classic sign of someone who comes into my office has been on a statin medication for a long time is this little resting tremor, which is pathognomonic for Parkinson's. And I say, oh, you're on a statin medication. How long you been on this statin medication? Most of the time, people have been on it for years, if not decades. It's not uncommon for people to come to me and say, I've been on this statin for 20 years. And I'm like, okay. And when did this shaking start? Oh, 5 years ago, maybe. It seems to be getting worse. And what we've noticed is when we start to work with these individuals and get their body the things that it needs, their tremor stops. It's mind-boggling, I know. Aaron's sitting here staring at me like, I don't really have anything to contribute to this part of the conversation.
Nope.
But I think this is an important piece of information that I don't think people understand, that those three things are extremely important for overall health. People take statin medications and feel like crap after a while. Did it lower their cholesterol? Yeah, maybe. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. Some people have a genetic predisposition that doesn't allow for the statin medications to work very well.
Right. But a lot of people, it does lower it. And a lot of people don't feel bad immediately.
No, it takes a while. And then we don't equate the feeling bad. If it takes long enough, we don't equate the feeling bad to the fact that it happened after we started taking that particular medication. Right. And so that's a big deal. And then when you start talking to them about these other things that they've got going on, and then we check their hormone levels and we find out that men and women, both their testosterone is in the tank, like single digits low, super, super low testosterone levels in women, super low testosterone levels in men. Right. A lot of guys end up with erectile dysfunction and they don't know why. And I'm like, well, it's the fact that your testosterone or your testosterone's in the tank because you have no steroid hormones to make the testosterone in the first place. So it's extremely important to know these things and know what you're getting into. If you're going to choose to take that statin medication, know what's coming, because then you can do things to help prevent that from happening. But you know, that's one of the big things. Now, shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about how our body gets rid of cholesterol. We get rid of our cholesterol by making bile acids. Now, we make these bile acids in our liver and we pump them over into our gallbladder to store, right? And you know, don't get me started on gallbladder dysfunction and that's a topic in and of itself. But what I do want to focus on are these bile acids. The big physiologic functions, they have to be there for us to digest lipids, and they have to be there for us to absorb lipids. Well, if we're doing things to lower all of this stuff, of course we're going to affect our bile acids. So we're affecting these things at both ends of the puzzle. So these bile acids, they're the end product of breaking down cholesterol. That's how we get them. And if we're blocking cholesterol, well, that's a big problem. So now we don't have bile acids. But they're also the most important molecule to drive the formation and flow of bile. And what do people that have their gallbladders removed? Their bile flow is obstructed. Well, all of this stuff ties together. It all goes back to having enough cholesterol and having proper liver function. This stuff, it's not an accident that this stuff happens to people, right? And it's medications that we're taking that are affecting it and causing this to happen in our people. All right, we got to take another break. I need to get on some oxygen, take a drink, because I think I just talked for about 10 minutes straight without breaking.
I think I maybe had a couple words in there. That's about all I can give you.
And Aaron
this.
Said two things. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this talk, and we're going to talk about why liver function is so important for cholesterol levels. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back to the show, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, I've been on a soapbox, so to speak, of talking about cholesterol. In particular, I've been talking about low cholesterol and how bad that is for overall health. And you know, if you're wondering, yes, Erin is here. She just hasn't had much to say this entire talk. So, right before the break, we were talking about bile acids and how important these things are, and I'd made mention that, you know, this has to do with liver function, and then we store our bile and our liver makes it, and we store this stuff in our gallbladder, and then our gallbladder pumps this stuff into our small intestines to help us break down cholesterol, and it's this vicious cycle. And these bile acid salts are bile acids are the end of cholesterol breakdown, and then they're the most important molecule to drive bile formation and flow. And one of the big things that we see in our office are people that come in that have cholesterol issues, but years ago they may have had a gallbladder removed, and no one told them that they needed help with digestion. They needed digestive enzymes to help them break down fats that they were no longer going to be able to properly break down fats. And so now they can't absorb fats in their diet, so that has a whole thing that goes with it. They can't absorb cholesterol from the diet. Now, granted, you don't get a lot of your cholesterol from your diet, but if you eliminate what is there, well, that's problematic. And then they start having cholesterol issues. Their cholesterol goes high, it gets all out of whack, and no one has talked to them about the importance of making sure that they have proper gallbladder, well, and you know, bile formation and then digestion. Because just because you don't have your gallbladder, your liver still makes the bile. It still makes this stuff. So, you know, the people get their gallbladder removed. I know this is kind of seems like it may not be related, but it is. They'll get their gallbladder removed because they've got quote unquote sludge or gallstones that have formed in their gallbladder. Well, it has to do with flow. If you take someone who's normally eating a normal diet and then they put them on a low fat diet, which was the craze back in the 80s and 90s, was this low fat diet, low fat diet, low fat diet. We saw this eruption of gallbladder issues because it changed our body, how we made bile. It changed the flow of bile, and that's problematic. And so when you just remove the gallbladder, all you did was remove the storage receptacle for the bile. The problem is in the liver. We've got to go back and fix the liver. That's where the management of this is actually going back and fixing the liver. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, some gallbladders don't get too far gone and absolutely need to be removed because they can become gangrenous and become a big problem. But a lot of people don't realize that this can be prevented years in advance by just making sure that we're doing all the right things and that we have the proper nutrition.
But okay, so when you get to the point where they want to remove your gallbladder, though, can you do anything then?
Depends. So, yes, because sometimes the doctors will remove the gallbladder because there's a gallstone in there. Other times, it's dead and necrotic and, you know, stuck to the liver. Two completely different things, right? I've had patients that have come in and they're like, yeah, they were just going to go in and remove some gallstones, and they got in there and they said it had to come out.
I'm
like,
you had too many gallstones.
Right.
I hear that a lot.
They had too many gallstones. Well, okay, but There are things that can be done to help dissolve those gallstones. Like, you can, there are products out there to help you wear those things down and get a more properly functioning gallbladder and potentially save the gallbladder. I mean, if it doesn't work, okay, you still have surgery to go to, right? If it doesn't work, you can still do surgery and get it removed then. But if you get surgery, that's it. there's no going back and trying to fix it.
And people are getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
You know, we're finding people younger and younger who are getting their gallbladders removed and living their, you know, the vast majority of their lives without a gallbladder.
Right. I know people way younger than I am that have their gallbladders removed.
Yeah.
This is problematic. Right. It's going to be a big problem for them as they age. And it's also a problem immediately. I can't tell you how many people come in and they're like, yeah, they took my gallbladder out. They did not tell me that I was going to have diarrhea for like 3 years straight. I'm like, yeah, well, you can't digest fat. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just it, people, they just don't know.
And some people don't have side effects for years.
That's right.
And so they are fine, and then they don't relate it back to the gallbladder because they did fine for a while after the surgery.
Right. And so, you know, I just want to impress upon the importance of cholesterol. And I want to quote a sentence from this article that I've been talking about. And if you're not familiar, go back and listen to the beginning of the show. I talk about this research article from 2008 from the Czech Republic talking about low cholesterol. And they say, quote, cholesterol is crucial for several reasons. One, it is the principal building block of cell membranes. Two, it plays a vitally important role in human metabolism. Now, cell membranes, that's every cell in the body. If you don't have proper levels of cholesterol, your cell membranes are going to suffer. When your cell membranes suffer, your overall health suffers. You are a sick person. And the vitally important role in human metabolism, just what you do, all of the reactions, the hundreds of thousands and millions of reactions that are happening every single second of every single day in your body, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, rely on cholesterol to happen. And when you don't have enough of this stuff, those processes suffer. And eventually, chronic disease sets in. And that's the big thing. It's so important. And I can't talk enough about the importance of having enough cholesterol. Too much is a problem, but too little is a problem too. And unfortunately, we have a system, a conventional medical model, that's starting to drive people's cholesterol levels way too low. Some people, you know, I'm talking about this patient whose cholesterol was 92, but some people have the similar problems to what she's having when their cholesterol is 145, right? They doesn't need to get to 92. They're having the same exact issues that she's having at 140, right? We've got to be smart about what we're doing. This is one of those things where, you know, if you're taking a statin medication and your doctor hasn't checked your cholesterol in a while, go get your cholesterol checked, because if you're complaining of fatigue and cognitive issues and potentially even neurologic things, pain, tingling, numbness, like maybe your cholesterol's too low. Go get it checked. Have them find out. If it's too low, say something, right? It's their responsibility to pay attention to this stuff and make sure that we don't get things too low. And that's the point that I want to get across is, you know, we're all about empowering our patients to take control of their health. Be responsible for your health. You don't have to know all the physiologic mechanisms of why things are going on. You just need to know that they're going on and that they're likely able to be measured. And if your measurements are out of range, there's problems there. Right? And the problem with conventional medicine is there's no low limit to range on cholesterol. They just say less than 200. Well, hell, 10 is less than 200, but that's not going to be healthy. That's not good for anybody, right? There's common sense that has to be invoked here, and people, I'm asking you to just wake up to and use a little bit of your common sense here. If you're having issues that may be related to low cholesterol, check your cholesterol and see, is it low?
Right. Well, I think it does make sense when you talk about it, but I mean, people have never heard this before, you know, most likely. I mean, because it isn't discussed in conventional medicine. I mean, people know about their cholesterol possibly being too high. That's it.
Right. Well, cholesterol is so important for like how we react to our inflammation. Like, cholesterol helps to modulate inflammation. When your cholesterol is too low, inflammation goes off the chart. And that's what we see with this person that I'm talking about whose cholesterol is 92. She has inflammatory markers that are off the chart high that have never been tested, They had no idea that it was going on, but she has no way to put the fire out. Think of cholesterol as your body's fireman. You have no way to put the fire out. And, I mean, that's been quoted before, and I've talked about that before. It's the best fireman that our body has is to dump cholesterol on it. That's one of the things that it can do. It can insulate. So we got to take another break. This is going way too fast. I've got so much information I want to throw out there on cholesterol. But we've got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about another thing that lipids are extremely important for besides inflammatory control. And then we'll wrap this whole thing up. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in today, we've been talking about cholesterol and the role of cholesterol and the importance of cholesterol in health. And in particular, I got on this tirade a little bit because I had a patient come in with extremely low levels of cholesterol, the lowest I've ever seen. And I just wanted to talk a little bit today about the importance of making sure that we have enough cholesterol in our blood. And we talked about how cholesterol doesn't really come from diet. There's only a small percentage of your total cholesterol in your blood actually comes from your diet. Your liver is responsible for making this stuff. We make this stuff on our own. And how important it is for, you know, cell membrane health and for your body to make, you know, things like CoQ10 and all of these other things and your sex hormones. It's just being able and having these pathways functioning and running is extremely important. And one of the last things that I want to talk about is the fact that cholesterol is extremely important for our immune function. One of the big things that it does is it helps us bind these things called lipopolysaccharides. Now, I know that's a big term, but it's basically lipopolysaccharides are basically an endotoxin. When we form these lipopolysaccharides, they're basically like little bombs that are just traveling along, that are just blowing stuff up. And when we have enough cholesterol, particularly HDL cholesterol, we grab these things up and we neutralize them to where they don't cause us issues. But when you have low levels of cholesterol, there's no possible way that you're going to have enough of the HDL cholesterol, the good stuff. You're not going to have enough of the good stuff if you don't have enough of the total stuff overall. It's just physically impossible. And so this is another one of the things. I mean, this is, like I said earlier, it has a huge piece of the puzzle with our inflammation. It's a way we put fires out in our body, and our body's ability to regulate itself relies heavily on having enough cholesterol in our body. And you know, our liver makes it. If we're not making it, we have to figure out what is going on with our liver. Now, I did touch briefly today on having too.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The show, everyone. If you're just tuning in today, I've been on a soapbox, so to speak, of talking about cholesterol. In particular, I've been talking about low cholesterol and how bad that is for overall health. And, you know, if you're wondering, yes, Erin is here. She just hasn't had much to say this entire talk. So right before the break, we were talking about bile acids and how important these things are. And I'd made mention that, you know, this has to do with liver function. And then we store our bile and our liver makes it, and we store this stuff in our gallbladder, and then our gallbladder pumps this stuff into our small intestines to help us break down cholesterol. And it's this vicious cycle. And these bile acid salts are bile acids are the end of cholesterol breakdown, and then they're the most important molecule to drive bile formation and flow. And one of the big things that we see in our office are people that come in that have cholesterol issues, but years ago they may have had a gallbladder removed, and no one told them that they needed help with digestion. They needed digestive enzymes to help them break down fats, that they were no longer going to be able to properly break down fats. And so now they can't absorb fats in their diet, so that has a whole thing that goes with it. They can't absorb cholesterol from the diet. Now, granted, you don't get a lot of your cholesterol from your diet, but if you eliminate what is there, well, that's problematic. And then they start having cholesterol issues. Their cholesterol goes high, it gets all out of whack, and no one has talked to them about the importance of making sure that they have proper gallbladder, well, and, you know, bile formation and then digestion. Because just because you don't have your gallbladder, your liver still makes the bile. It still makes this stuff. So, you know, the people get their gallbladder removed. I know this is kind of seems like it may not be related, but it is. They'll get their gallbladder removed because they've got quote unquote sludge or gallstones that have formed in their gallbladder. Well, it has to do with flow. If you take someone who's normally eating a normal diet and then they put them on a low fat diet, which was the craze back in the 80s and 90s, was this low fat diet, low fat diet, low fat diet. We saw this eruption of gallbladder issues because it changed our body, how we made bile. It changed the flow of bile, and that's problematic. And so when you just remove the gallbladder, all you did was remove the storage receptacle for the bile. The problem is in the liver. We've got to go back and fix the liver. That's where the management of this is actually going back and fixing the liver. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, some gallbladders don't get too far gone and absolutely need to be removed because they can become gangrenous and become a big problem. But a lot of people don't realize that this can be prevented years in advance by just making sure that we're doing all the right things and that we have the proper nutrition.
But okay, so when you get to the point where they want to remove your gallbladder, though, can you do anything then?
Depends. So, yes, because sometimes the doctors will remove the gallbladder because there's a gallstone in there. Other times, it's dead and necrotic and, you know, stuck to the liver. Two completely different things. Right, I've had patients that have come in and they're like, "Yeah, they were just going to go in and remove some gallstones," and they got in there and they said, "It had to come out."
I'm like, you had too many gallstones. I hear that a lot.
They had too many gallstones. Well, okay, but there are things that can be done to help dissolve those gallstones. Like there are products out there to help you wear those things down and get a more properly functioning gallbladder. And potentially save the gallbladder. I mean, if it doesn't work, okay, you still have surgery to go to, right? If it doesn't work, you can still do surgery and get it removed then. But if you get surgery, that's it. There's no going back and trying to fix it.
And people are getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
You know, we're finding people younger and younger who are getting their gallbladders removed and living their, you know, vast majority of their lives without a gallbladder.
Right. I know people way younger than I am that have their gallbladders removed.
Yeah.
This is problematic.
Right.
It's going to be a big problem for them as they age. And it's also a problem immediately. I can't tell you how many people come in and they're like, "Yeah, they took my gallbladder out. They did not tell me that I was going to have diarrhea for like 3 years straight." I'm like, "Yeah, well, you can't digest fat, and that's what happens."
Yeah.
And so, you know, just it people they just don't know.
And some people don't have side effects for years.
That's right.
And so they are fine, and then they don't relate it back to the gallbladder because they did fine for a while after the surgery.
Right. And so, you know, I just want to impress upon the importance of cholesterol. And I want to quote a sentence from this article that I've been talking about. And if you're not familiar, go back and listen to the beginning of the show. I talk about this research article from 2008 from the Czech Republic talking about low cholesterol. And they say, quote, "Cholesterol is crucial for several reasons. One, it is the principal building block of cell membranes. Two, it plays a vitally important role in human metabolism." Now, cell membranes, that's every cell in the body. If you don't have proper levels of cholesterol, your cell membranes are going to suffer. When your cell membranes suffer, your overall health suffers. You are a sick person. And the vitally important role in human metabolism, just what you do, all of the reactions, the hundreds of thousands of millions and millions of reactions that are happening every single second of every single day in your body, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, rely on cholesterol to happen. And when you don't have enough of this stuff, those processes suffer. And eventually, chronic disease sets in. And that's the big thing. It's so important. And I can't talk enough about the importance of having enough cholesterol. Too much is a problem, but too little is a problem too. And unfortunately, we have a system, a conventional medical model, that's starting to drive people's cholesterol levels way too low. Some people, you know, I'm talking about this patient whose cholesterol was 92, but some people have the similar problems to what she's having when their cholesterol is 145. Right? They doesn't need to get to 92. They're having these same exact issues that she's having at 140. Right? We've got to be smart about what we're doing. This is one of those things where, you know, if you're taking a statin medication and your doctor hasn't checked your cholesterol in a while, go get your cholesterol checked, because if you're complaining of fatigue and cognitive issues and potentially even neurologic things, pain, tingling, numbness, like maybe your cholesterol's too low. Go get it checked. Have them find out. And if it's too low, say something. Right? It's their responsibility to pay attention to this stuff and make sure that we don't get things too low. And that's the point that I want to get across is, you know, we're all about empowering our patients to take control of their health. Be responsible for your health. You don't have to know all the physiologic mechanisms of why things are going on. You just need to know that they're going on and that they're likely able to be measured. And if your measurements are out of range, there's problems there. Right? And the problem with conventional medicine is there's no low limit to range on cholesterol. They just say less than 200. Well, hell, 10 is less than 200, but that's not going to be healthy. That's not good for anybody, right? There's common sense that has to be invoked here, and people, I'm asking you to just wake up to and use a little bit of your common sense here. If you're having issues that may be related to low cholesterol, check your cholesterol and see, is it low?
Right. Well, I think it does make sense when you talk about it, but I mean, people have never heard this before, you know, most likely. I mean, because it isn't discussed in conventional medicine. I mean, people know about their cholesterol possibly being too high. That's it.
Right. Well, cholesterol is so important for like how we react to to inflammation. Like cholesterol helps to modulate inflammation. When your cholesterol is too low, inflammation goes off the chart. And that's what we see with this person that I'm talking about whose cholesterol is 92. She has inflammatory markers that are off the chart high that have never been tested. They had no idea that it was going on, but she has no way to put the fire out. Think of cholesterol as your body's fireman. You have no way to put the fire out. And I mean, that's been quoted before, and I've talked about that before. It's the best fireman that our body has is to dump cholesterol on it. That's one of the things that it can do. It can insulate. So we got to take another break. This is going way too fast. I've got so much information I want to throw out there on cholesterol, but we've got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about another thing that lipids are extremely important for besides inflammatory control, and then we'll wrap this whole thing up. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in today, we've been talking about cholesterol and the role of cholesterol and the importance of cholesterol in health. And in particular, I got on this tirade a little bit because I had a patient come in with extremely low levels of cholesterol, the lowest I've ever seen. And I just wanted to talk a little bit today about the importance of making sure that we have enough cholesterol in our blood. And we talked about how cholesterol doesn't really come from diet. There's only a small percentage of your total cholesterol in your blood actually comes from your diet. Your liver is responsible for making this stuff. We make this stuff on our own. And how important it is for, you know, cell membrane health and for your body to make, you know, things like CoQ10 and all of these other things and your sex hormones. It's just being able and having these pathways functioning and running is extremely important. And one of the last things that I want to talk about is the fact that cholesterol is extremely important for our immune function. One of the big things that it does is it helps us bind these things called lipopolysaccharides. Now, I know that's a big term, but it's basically lipopolysaccharides are basically an endotoxin. When we form these lipopolysaccharides, they're basically like little bombs that are just traveling along, that are just blowing stuff up. And when we have enough cholesterol, particularly HDL cholesterol, we grab these things up and we neutralize them to where they don't cause us issues. But when you have low levels of cholesterol, there's no possible way that you're going to have enough of the HDL cholesterol, the good stuff. You're not going to have enough of the good stuff if you don't have enough of the total stuff overall. It's just physically impossible. And so this is another one of the things. I mean, this is, like I said earlier, it has a huge piece of the puzzle with our inflammation. It's a way we put fires out in our body, and our body's ability to regulate itself relies heavily on having enough cholesterol in our body. And you know, our liver makes it. If we're not making it, we have to figure out what is going on with our liver. Now, I did touch briefly today on having too much cholesterol. Again, your liver is making it. Why is it making it? We have to pay attention to this. And people always ask, well, you know, occasionally we'll have, you know, a husband wife that comes in and one of them has their cholesterol is a little too high and the other their cholesterol is a little too low. And we use very similar ways of modulating, you know, cholesterol production. And I have to explain to them, yeah, I know it seems counterintuitive that the things that would increase, that it would improve liver function would both lower cholesterol and raise cholesterol at the same time. But That's just the way it is, because your body is, it wants to be upright. It wants to be, you know, functioning perfectly. And if it's too high or too low, if you give it things to modulate, it's going to either increase its function or decrease its function. It's going to come back to neutral. That's where it wants to be. All you have to do is give it the raw materials that it needs, and it will do this on its own. And in some situations, what you use to modulate the immune system helps things that are low and helps things that are high, right? That's just how this stuff works. I that's how physiology is. I don't know. I wish it were different, but we've been hornswoggled by conventional medicine and by the pharmaceutical industry to think that, well, if you have this problem, then you need this medication. If you have the opposite of this problem, then you need a different medication. When in reality, you probably just need very similar nutrients, and it's going to lower if it's high, and it's going to increase it if it's low. Because our body is not deficient in pharmacologic agents. We're deficient in omega-3 fatty acids. We're deficient in, you know, vitamins and minerals. That's what we're deficient in. We're not deficient in a statin. It's not a naturally occurring thing. We just don't need that for the most part, right? At least not long term. It's not something that we need to be with or be taking for decades, right? If your answer is to take something for decades, find someone that gives you a better answer, because that's not how the body functions. We can improve upon that. We can do better. And, you know, that's why I like to think of, you know, our office. I like to think that we're at least doing better, because we're putting health back into your hands. We're not saying that we know everything. We're saying, hey, you know what? These are things that are extremely important for your health and well-being. These are the things that you need to do. If you want to regain your health, this is the path that you need to walk, right? We need to get off of what you're doing and start doing these things. And it slowly but surely, you see positive changes. Sometimes I say slowly but surely, sometimes it's fairly rapid. Sometimes wellness comes quick, but we just don't know. It's just, in the end, it's about empowerment and getting the right things, getting you to understand the way that things actually are, the physiology behind things, not just necessarily what you've blindly been told or what you've blindly believed because you've seen a commercial for it.
How often do you really see, though, people with low cholesterol?
You know what? When they're taking medications for it, more frequently than you would think. Not this low. This low is what triggered this conversation.
But so if people are put on a statin, are there doctors not routinely checking their cholesterol?
I've had people that have told me they haven't had their cholesterol checked in 2 to 3 years after going on the medication.
Wow.
I know. It's mind-boggling.
But like, I guess also what you're saying is if they did check it, they'd be like, oh, okay, you're below 200. You're fine.
Right. Everything looks great.
Yeah.
Like, I see people...
So it's really working.
Right. I see people with cholesterol levels in the 140s, and, like, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this explains why you're trying to see me. All of your complaints have to do with the fact that your cholesterol is just too low, right? We don't need it to be 500, but we sure
we
in the world...
We don't want it to be 500.
No, but we sure in the world don't need it to be that low. I mean, the World Health Organization determined, by looking at every country, they determined that the cholesterol level that led to the lowest cause, all-cause mortality, was 223. I've got the study and the slides to back that up. 223. But in this country, we're driving it below 200 all the time.
Yeah.
But is that necessarily the best course of action? I don't know. Sure seems that the rest of the world thinks it's not. So it's just, you know, these are things that that sort of stuff doesn't pass the sniff test. When I'm sitting here looking at every other country in the world, and they're not forcing everybody's cholesterol this low. And
they're healthier than we are overall.
Yeah, we're 37th in overall health.
Right.
I mean, there are countries that are developing, not even developed, developing countries that are ahead of us. We're the last of the industrialized nations as far as health goes. I mean, it's just the model's not working. But anyway, that's about all the time that we've got today. I hope that you enjoyed this. Please, if you want more information, visit our website, inhstl.com. Follow us on all of our socials at INHSTL. Shoot us an email. Call us 314-293-8123. We're happy to help in whatever way we can. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.
If you're just tuning in today, we've been talking about cholesterol and the role of cholesterol and the importance of cholesterol in health. And in particular, I got on this tirade a little bit because I had a patient come in with extremely low levels of cholesterol, the lowest I've ever seen. And I just wanted to talk a little bit today about the importance of making sure that we have enough cholesterol in our blood. And we talked about how cholesterol doesn't really come from diet. There's only a small percentage of your total cholesterol in your blood actually comes from your diet. Your liver is responsible for making this stuff. We make this stuff on our own. And how important it is for, you know, cell membrane health and for your body to make, you know, things like CoQ10 and all of these other things and your sex hormones. It's just being able and having these pathways functioning and running is extremely important. And one of the last things that I want to talk about is the fact that cholesterol is extremely important for our immune function. One of the big things that it does is it helps us bind these things called lipopolysaccharides. Now, I know that's a big term, but it's basically lipopolysaccharides are basically an endotoxin. When we form these lipopolysaccharides, they're basically like little bombs that are just traveling along, that are just blowing stuff up. And when we have enough cholesterol, particularly HDL cholesterol, we grab these things up and we neutralize them to where they don't cause us issues. But when you have low levels of cholesterol, there's no possible way that you're going to have enough of the HDL cholesterol, the good stuff. You're not going to have enough of the good stuff if you don't have enough of the total stuff overall. It's just physically impossible. And so this is another one of the things. I mean, this is, like I said earlier, it has a huge piece of the puzzle with our inflammation. It's a way we put fires out in our body, and our body's ability to regulate itself relies heavily on having enough cholesterol in our body. And you know, our liver makes it. If we're not making it, we have to figure out what is going on with our liver. Now, I did touch briefly today on having too much cholesterol. Again, your liver is making it. Why is it making it? We have to pay attention to this. And people always ask, well, you know, occasionally we'll have, you know, a husband wife that comes in and one of them has their cholesterol is a little too high and the other their cholesterol is a little too low. And we use very similar ways of modulating, you know, cholesterol production. And I have to explain to them, yeah, I know it seems counterintuitive that the things that would increase, that it would improve liver function would both lower cholesterol and raise cholesterol at the same time. But that's just the way it is, because your body is, it wants to be upright. It wants to be, you know, functioning perfectly. And if it's too high or too low, if you give it things to modulate, it's going to either increase its function or decrease its function. It's going to come back to neutral. That's where it wants to be. All you have to do is give it the raw materials that it needs, and it will do this on its own. And in some situations, what you use to modulate the immune system helps things that are low and helps things that are high, right? That's just how this stuff works. I that's how physiology is. I don't know. I wish it were different, but we've been hornswoggled by conventional medicine and by the pharmaceutical industry to think that, well, if you have this problem, then you need this medication. If you have the opposite of this problem, then you need a different medication. When in reality, you probably just need very similar nutrients, and it's going to lower if it's high, and it's going to increase it if it's low, because our body is not deficient in pharmacologic agents. We're deficient in omega-3 fatty acids. We're deficient in, you know, vitamins and minerals. That's what we're deficient in. We're not deficient in a statin. It's not a naturally occurring thing. We just don't need that for the most part. right? At least not long term. It's not something that we need to be with or be taking for decades, right? If your answer is to take something for decades, find someone that gives you a better answer, because that's not how the body functions. We can improve upon that. We can do better. And, you know, that's why I like to think of, you know, our office. I like to think that we're at least doing better because we're putting health back into your hands. We're not saying that we know everything. We're saying, hey, you know what? These are things that are extremely important for your health and well-being. These are the things that you need to do. If you want to regain your health, this is the path that you need to walk, right? We need to get off of what you're doing and start doing these things. And it slowly but surely, you see positive changes. Sometimes I say slowly but surely, sometimes it's fairly rapid. Sometimes wellness comes quick, but we just don't know. It's just, in the end, it's about empowerment and getting the right things, getting you to understand the way that things actually are, the physiology behind things, not just necessarily what you've blindly been told or what you've blindly believed because you've seen a commercial for it.
How often do you really see, though, people with low cholesterol?
You know what? When they're taking medications for it, more frequently than you would think. Not this low. This low is what triggered this conversation.
But so if people are put on a statin, are there doctors not routinely checking their cholesterol?
I've had people that have told me they haven't had their cholesterol checked in 2 to 3 years after going on the medication.
Wow.
I know. It's mind-boggling.
But like, I guess also what you're saying is if they did check it, they'd be like, oh, okay, you're below 200. You're fine.
Right. Everything looks great.
Yeah.
Like, I see people...
So it's really working.
Right. I see people with cholesterol levels in the 140s, and, like, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, this explains why you're trying to see me. All of your complaints have to do with the fact that your cholesterol is just too low, right? We don't need it to be 500, but we sure
in
the world...
We don't want it to be 500.
No, but we sure in the world don't need it to be that low. I mean, the World Health Organization determined, by looking at every country, they determined that the cholesterol level that led to the lowest cause, all-cause mortality, was 223. I've got the study and the slides to back that up. 223. But in this country, we're driving it below 200 all the time.
Yeah.
But is that necessarily the best course of action? I don't know. Sure seems that the rest of the world thinks it's not. So it's just, you know, these are things that that sort of stuff doesn't pass the sniff test. When I'm sitting here looking at every other country in the world and they're not forcing everybody's cholesterol this low. And
they're healthier than we are overall.
Yeah, we're 37th in overall health.
Right.
I mean, there are countries that are developing, not even developed, developing countries that are ahead of us. We're the last of the industrialized nations as far as health goes. I mean, it's just the model's not working. But anyway, that's about all the time that we've got today. I hope that you enjoyed this. Please, if you want more information, visit our website, inhstl.com. Follow us on all of our socials at inhstl. Shoot us an email. Call us, 314-293-8123. We're happy to help in whatever way we can. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.